Blog Talk Radio.
Another lifetime, 'cause it don't get much better. Don't care about the weather. Oh, as long as I'm with you, I'm safe and warm. I'm happy that I'll spend the rest of my life with you. It ain't been easy, but we make it through all the
around me, baby. Hold on tight like the first time I met you. Oh, since that day, been right beside you. You showed me, baby, you a rider. So, honey, I'ma ride into the sunset with you. I love you more after I die. Life ain't perfect, but we're both. And I love you more after everyone. We got a love that can conquer anything.
You are the melody that makes my heart sing.
I mean every word that's well, you rock my last name.
I swear that I love you.
It ain't been easy, but we make it through all the
ups.
It ain't been perfect, but we're both
here right now.
And I love you more after the day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Inspired Movement. I'm so glad you could join us. I love that song. That is Tamala and David Mann, Ups and Downs. If you haven't heard their album, I suggest you download it. It's a really good album for married couples just to kind of vibe to and listen to. They end up doing like a love album, and me and my husband really, really love it. Thank you for joining us. We hope everybody has had an awesome week thus far. I am joined with my co-host, Jewel Elfers. I am your host, Jasmine Dees. And we have a power hour of Unveiling the Veil, the Truth About Marriage. Hey, Jewel, are you there?
Yes, I am. How you doing today?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to hurry up and look up that album because I was vibing to that song while I was waiting for us to start.
After we had went to her concert, I think it was last year or the year before last, and we went to their concert, they had announced that they were doing like a love album to look out for it. So as soon as it came out, we downloaded it, and we've been rocking to that ever since. So it's been out for a little bit, and they have some really, really good songs to just kind of chill and wind down with, you know, when you're chilling with your hubby or your wife.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say, I know even with them, they have a heck of a testimony when it comes to them discussing their marriage. So, I mean, perfect song, perfect couple, just all of it all came together.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we're going to dig into our show. As you know, for our listeners, we have a guest call-in number. If you would like to be on the show and actually talk live with us and discuss this topic, our call-in number is 516-418-5507. That's 516-418-5507. So we're going to dig right into this topic. Me and Jewel was kind of talking about it and kind of trying to decide what direction we were going to go in. And Jewel ended up coming up with the title when I was sharing with her just about, you know, marriage and kind of the studying and things like that that me and my husband have been doing and kind of what God is walking us through. And it was really good and really fitting. It was fitting to bring up this topic because so many people are actually quarantined in the home with their spouse or, you know, their significant other. So it's a perfect time to talk about and discuss the truth on what happens when the hustle and bustle of the everyday life is not going on. You're not, you know, hours apart from being at work all the time or ripping and running to this event or this, you know, activity or going with the kids with sports or whatever the case may be, however your life is fashioned, that's not happening for any of us right now. So I think all of us are probably going through kind of a open eye experience of just really, really hashing out some things that we didn't realize that needed tending to. So I'm grateful that we have this time to be able to kind of share and just be kind of open and transparent, just kind of about our own relationships and own marriages.
Absolutely. And I love how you put, you know, the open eye, you know, open-eyed experience. That's kind of what came to my mind when you were giving me the idea behind tonight's show as far as the topic, you know, unveiling the veil. You know, sometimes we don't realize that we see our relationships, we see our spouses, you know, through a certain image that we expect them to be, you know, kind of like that bride that walks down, you know, the aisle and she has the veil on her face and, you know, you see her beauty and you see, you know, her dress and you see her shape and you see her flowers and she's walking towards you and you're so excited, you know, and then you have the final part where you lift that veil up and then you behold your bride. And sometimes in marriage, you know, you go in and you're like, this is the man of my dreams. He's perfect. Or this is the wife of my dreams. And then that veil you lift up.
And it's the boogeyman. It is the boogeyman.
Girl. You be like, oh, nah, bitch, dude.
Right. Yeah, and that kind of goes into our breakdown. Marriage is something that we all desire, right?
Girl.
We long for someone to come sweep us up off our feet, whisk us away into our vision of happily ever after. But what if I told you marriage is full of lessons, full of tests, full of trials? Would you still want to be married?
I'm still thinking about, do I still want to be married? I'm joking. I had to go back real quick, though.
But it kind of goes back to, like, whoever, when you're in a relationship, you don't automatically just say, oh my gosh, I am about to get married to this pain and this agony. Oh, I can't wait. None of us.
Oh, we can look at that suitcase he bringing. That suitcase looks so cute. It's a mattress set. He bringing a mattress set of all of his baggage, girl. It matches his Gucci. Got that,
yes.
Gucci bag.
He got a Gucci bag with so much drama in it. Yeah, I don't think any of us really look at it from that perspective. I honestly believe, you know, we all have high expectations, high hopes, standards, you know, things that we set in place and the bar that we set you know, of what we will accept, what we won't accept, what, you know, we're going to do, what we're not going to do. We have all these things, how I want them to be, how I want them to look, how I want her to look, how I want her to be. And then reality hits, you know, you have a loved one that gets hit with the illness, or you have a wife that has a baby and her body changes, you know, or you have all these different things take place, and it really tests to see if you're in it for the long haul or not. You know, it doesn't always look good. You know, social media has us all like fooled, like stuff looks really, really pretty, really, really nice, really, really Photoshopped, really, really put together at all times. And that's not reality.
No.
People can lie and say that's the reality, but we all know that's not reality.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just in all fairness too, we all want to put our best foot forward. We all want to put on our best image, because we know that, you know, impressions, first impressions are everything. And we get that. We're taught that. We're taught that about, you know, how we present ourselves when we're going, you know, to school, or when, you know, that, you know, you're a family and your family is going to visit someone, and you make sure all of your family, all your kids, all y'all are all together, you know. Or when you're going into work and you present, you know, present yourself the best way that you can, you know, you make sure your hair is perfect, you make sure your makeup is cold, you make sure your clothes is nice, you make sure, you know, your speech and how you talk and you present yourself is, you know, perfect. And social media, like you said, it amplifies that. It amplifies that sense of constant perfection all the time. And we also take that into our dating scenes. We take that into marriages. We take that into friendships and other types of relationships. And so there is like a skewed push to, you know, present your best self, but also too, people take that so far where now you're not presenting your best self, you're presenting what you think your best self, what type of best self would be accepted by others. So, you know, we have to unpack that part too, going into it, as far as what are you presenting, you know, to your, you know, to your person that you're dating that eventually becomes your husband or in a marriage, you know. And is that where sometimes that miscommunication and that perception of perfection gets skewed, you know? So some things that we definitely got some time that we're going to unpack tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, like, you know, also too, when it comes to relationships, kind of like your mom was talking about yesterday, when you look back at how you learned to be a wife, who did you learn how to be a wife from? Who did you learn how to be a husband from? You know, when you look back on those things and you see like your heritage or your lineage and what, where you come from and the history in your family of, you know, husbands and wives and how they are, sometimes history does repeat itself. Most of the time it repeats itself. So if you're not careful, you know, you'll partner up and you'll take on stuff that you were meant to break and you were meant to change.
Yeah, it's easy to fall into that trap of doing because that's all you know per se, versus questioning, you know, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Why am I reacting this way? Why am I responding, you know, in this manner? And sometimes it takes your spouse to be a mirror for you to see things that are actually an issue that have been commonplace and normal in our own upbringings, you know. Like, if you don't have somebody to make you see what position you're in from an outside perspective, that's why the company that you keep in relationships can either make or break sometimes the relationships that you have. That's why it's so important for us to have good company that we keep to help us to, you know, reflect on ourselves and you know, and be able to bounce something off of and say, hey, you know what, my spouse, you know, is saying that this is an issue, or me and them are always having a falling out about this matter. Is there something that you see? Is there some relevance to this, you know? And like you said, we sometimes, because of how we are brought up and the things that we experience from our parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and relationships of theirs that we've watched, our brothers and sisters, the relationships that we've seen that they've had, it can set a very, very skewed, unhealthy expectation of what is normal and what's okay in a relationship. So, yeah, it's important for us to, you know, one, realize that everything that we witness and see, just because it was common, doesn't mean that it's healthy. And two, are we willing to humble ourselves enough to recognize that, hey, you know what, just because this is normal don't mean that this is healthy. And just because I'm okay with this behavior doesn't mean that my spouse is okay with it. And is this relationship important enough to me that I am willing to humble myself to change, you know, or open myself up to looking at other ways of communicating and connecting and you know, walking in another level of healing in that. So that's very hard. That's hard in a relationship to look at yourself, because it's so much easier to point your finger at your spouse and say that they're the one that's causing a hiccup in our grand design of what we think a perfect marriage looks like.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is that God doesn't desire a perfect marriage. He desires an honest one.
Mm.
He desires one that's built on truth, you know, and understanding and love and forgiveness. And I mean, you know, I think about a time in my marriage where I was severely tested when my husband had to get that neck surgery, and the doctors at first didn't think he would make it out of it. And to be faced with, you know, that type of hardship when we were both working out and we were getting fit and we were going to the gym every day and we were making our smoothies and we were doing all this great stuff and we were, you know, sharing our successes and all happy. And then next thing you know, he goes to the doctor and they're like, oh, you know, you have this part of your spine pinching on your, you know, pinching in your neck, and to the point where you have to have these bones removed. And I remember thinking, oh, okay, well, you got to get them removed and then we're going to get back to working out, you know, go ahead, get those two bones removed. You know, it was like,
right.
I didn't have, at the moment, I wasn't thinking about, you know, how serious it was. I was just thinking like, okay, he going to, you know, get this done and then we'll be back to normal. And that never happened. That normal that I was expecting never happened. And watching him, you know, and the healing process and all that he had to endure in physical therapy and go through to get back. And it's by the grace of God that he is, you know, alive and he's has the activity of his limbs and, you know, and he doesn't have pain and things like that. But it's one of those things where I had to look at like, wow, God, like our whole life got shifted. You know, what I looked at as our normal, what I looked at as something that was going to be positive and going to be a good change, you know, it was a halt put into it. And at first I didn't understand. And I was like, God, why would you do something like that? If we were on a good path, you know, we weren't doing negative. We were getting healthy. We were, you know, doing what I thought you wanted us to do with our temples and, you know, and all of this. And then we get that blow, you know, and marriage is about picking up those pieces of those blows and building something else with them. You know, sometimes we might not build what we think we're going to build. You know, sometimes it might not come out the way we think it's going to come out. And so, you know, we have to be realistic. You know, sometimes I can admit in my marriage, I was living like almost in a fantasy land. Like, I want it to be this way. It's going to be this way. And we're going to be happy. And that's going to be it. You know, like, that's it. We're not going to go through this. We're not going to go through that. You know, everything's going to be okay. And God is like, no, that's not how it's going to be, because a true and authentic relationship it's going to have a testimony. It's going to have a story. It's going to have some meat in there to be able to share with other people. And, you know, I felt like because I went through so much.
I don't have no meat. I want to be a vegetarian. Can we be a vegetarian?
Exactly. Like, I felt like, me personally, I think I felt like because I went through so much in my first marriage and those 12 years were so, like, horrible, I felt like this next one, I shouldn't have to deal with anything. That's what I honestly felt.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then there's you, and you still are in that marriage. And then also, too, it's kind of like, you know, I felt like because I had waited for a period of time before I got married, and because I was a believer and I loved the Lord and I was in my Bible and I was just this, you know, this learned scholar that loved God and was ministering to people, that when I got married, that it was just going to be blessed. Like, you know, like it wasn't going to be nothing. And, you know, and God quickly showed me, you know, oh, no, dear one, you have not arrived. Like, your relationship with me, you're going to really see where you really stand as far as with me based off of how you handle this marriage. And just truth be told, like, you know, I rushed into getting married. I allowed pressure and fear to cause me to get married sooner than what I probably would have done on my own if I didn't feel that pressure. And everybody is not going to be open enough to say that in instances, because, of course, yeah, me and my husband were married. We're doing well now, you know. However, if I truly would have obeyed God as far as timing, I would have waited. I would have waited longer. I would not have rushed into it. I would have still, I still would have taken that time, because, you know, I was talking to my husband, you know, earlier before he had left to go walk, before, you know, when I told him that we were doing this show, and I asked him, I said, you know, when you think about our marriage, what are some things that you would have changed? What are some things that you think that would have made a difference in our marriage based off of, you know, what we went through and where we are now? And the first thing that he said two things. One, that I would have handled our finances differently. I feel like both of us should have handled our finances differently, because we used our finances as a way to kind of hide and mask what we were really dealing with. There's a lot of people that we know, you know, that we've ministered to both collectively and separately, where because they might be well off or they might be doing well financially, they use that as a way to cope with lack that they have within their relationships. So that really struck me hard. You know, I used ministry and being busy going out, running around and healing the world and praying for people and doing for people and doing anointed angels and doing sore sessions and doing all these different things, because it was something that can fulfill, or what I thought could temporarily fulfill, certain lacks that we were going through in our marriage as far as with communicating and feeling like we were on the same page faith-wise, and feeling like we were on the same page when it came to our desire and intimacy, and the lack of what was going on with that because of depression and health issues and all of that. Then the other thing he said, a part of me feels like even though we went through a lot of things, if you had not put your foot down and said, you know what, I am willing to get a divorce and I will divorce you if this doesn't change. He said, I feel like I needed something to really shock me into a place of real examination. Like, I couldn't depend on you to just be there and just keep dealing with the way that our marriage was going. And it forced him to really seek after God in a way that he had never done before. And then also, too, it made me realize, you know, there's things that I should have spoken about sooner that I tried to skate over and tried to mask and cover up and pray it away and, you know, read scriptures and slap scriptures on the wall away. And not saying that prayer doesn't work, but some things when it comes to marriage that needs to be taken care of are practical. Sometimes it's just about simply having a conversation and making things known and not over spiritualizing something that requires just one conversation. So when he was sharing about that and he was saying, you know, I wish that I understood how important really being intentional about having a relationship with God was 10 years ago, like I do now, because we wouldn't have went through so much crap that we went through. Mm-hmm. I can relate to that because, yeah, you know, with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. because you get to a place where when in your growth that you realize of certain things that you could take, you could have took to the Lord, you know, and certain things you could have labored and prayed through. And I know here recently for the last 5 days, me and my husband have been studying like romance and, you know, how people take romance and get it confused and get it all jacked up and thinking romance is just sex, you know, and that is not what romance is. Romance is such a gift from God. Like, and it's so, romance is literally being intentional about the needs and the wants and the desires of your partner.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, sex. It is, what is her, you know, favorite candy bar? What is his favorite snack? What's his favorite meal? What does he like? You know, how does he like certain things, you know, around the house? Or how does she like certain things? Like, when me and my husband started really breaking down the things that help us be creative and help us stay in this place of just positivity and sparking, you know, creativity and all of this stuff, we sat down and realized breaking down romance would be key into cultivating a better environment for, you know, even deeper levels of romance to even blossom. You know, even though, you know, we have been studying and talking about how intentional, just being intentional, like I'll share kind of what my husband has been doing here lately, like just little small things that he knows that helps me to decompress. Because as you know, if you listen to multiple shows, you know that Jewel and I, we work in, you know, the financial institutions. And when we're dealing with customers and dealing with a lot of people, when you're handling their finance or handling their money, you get a lot of interesting customers. And so we talk a lot. We talk a lot during the day. It's a lot of answering the phone. It's a lot of transactions. It's a lot of, okay, you know, troubleshooting and making sure, you know, you do things correctly and trying to make the customer happy. And by the time I get off work, I really don't want to talk to anyone. I really just want to listen to some music and I want to decompress and I want to relax. Well, my husband didn't understand that at first. You know, he thought I was being really weird versus his job. He's in a kind of in a bubble by himself. He works in a factory. It's loud. He's got his headphones on. He's by himself. He's not talking to anybody, engaging with anybody. So his job is a little different. So when he comes home, you know, he wants to, you know, talk about a lot of stuff. And I'm just like, not even there. You know, I'm not present at the moment because I need to, I need to regroup. I need to, you know, come back. I need to, you know, as a woman, and I know as many women out there that have children or don't have children, when you work and you're in a marriage, you come home and you're thinking about 150 different things. I mean, I know I'm not the only woman that comes home and feel like, oh God, I got to feed the kids. Oh man, I got to, you know, cook dinner. I got to, you know, straighten up this, or I got to do this, I got to do that. So sometimes we get caught up in these moments that we just need kind of a break from in order to relax. And so after me and my husband started really talking and having that dialogue about how I decompress, because one day after work, I had texted him and I said, hey, sweetie, I said, after work, I'm just going to kind of take a drive and listen to some music and just kind of decompress before I come home. And he's like, oh, pick me up, you know, I'll ride with you, you know. And I'm like, okay. So at first I'm like, okay, I'll pick him up. This is cool. You know, I'll pick my husband up and we'll just ride together and just kind of hang out and talk, you know, and listen to, not talk. I didn't want to talk. I wanted to just listen to music and ride with my husband. And so it was
minor
so
detail.
Funny. And so it was so funny. I pick him up, you know, he get in the car, he's like, hey baby, you know, he's all like missing me, and I'm just like, hey sweetie, you know. And I turn the music up, and so he's trying to talk over the music, and so I'm like, okay, let me turn the music down so I can hear him. And so we're driving and we're driving and we're driving, and it came to a point where I just looked at him. I said, babe, I said, I text you and I said I wanted to drive and I wanted to listen to music because I need to decompress. And I was like, I really didn't want to talk right now. And he's like, oh babe, oh my bad, I'm sorry. And so we would drive a little bit more, and then he would talk, and then we would drive a little bit more, and he would talk, and then he would talk. I was like, babe, let's just head home and I'm just ready to go home, you know? And he's like, oh, babe, I'm sorry. You know, I forgot you just kind of wanted to decompress and not talk. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of wanted to just kind of relax, you know, a little bit. And, you know, but he realized, you know, afterwards, and bless his heart, he wasn't doing anything wrong. He was just missing me. Mm-hmm. He was off that day. I was at work all day, so he missed me. He wanted to talk to me, engage. He wanted to hear about my day. And I was just like, really wasn't on it. So after we had that encounter, he's been intentional, you know, about setting my atmosphere and setting the space. So I came home from work one day. He had dinner together for everybody. The house was clean. My bathwater was ran with candles lit. Music was playing. My bedroom was clean. Bed was made. Everything, it was just smelling good. Everything was just, oh, it was just wonderful. And so it made me feel really good, made me feel inspired, made me feel like, man, oh, I felt like I could relax. I felt like I can kind of decompress and I can just chill and I didn't have to think about too many things. I could just come home and relax. And that made my day. And so he is being more intentional about those key little things, as well as the things that I know that he likes and doesn't like. My husband loves when I just lay down and watch a movie with him. Even if I don't like the movie or I'm not interested in the movie, it's something that he really wants to do. So it's like laying down yourself and the things that you desire, you know, and kind of being there for that other person. Yeah, I might not like the movie he want to watch, but it's not about the movie. It's about him wanting to lay there and spend time with me, you know, yeah. And that's his way of wanting to spend time, you know. So we're learning and growing, and it's a beautiful thing because we sit and sometimes get so caught up in life and we kind of run past each other. But then when we are forced to kind of sit down and realize like the things that we weren't doing or the things that we were taking advantage of, I know I was sharing with Jewel earlier before the call, they said most couples actually spend less than 5 minutes a day actually connecting. And that's not just a physical connection. That's like a mental connection, shutting off your phone, shutting off the TV, sitting in each other's presence and talking or engaging in conversation of, you know, conversing about that person's day or conversing about, you know, how they're feeling or do they need anything or just being intentional about putting that person first. Most couples don't do that. Some couples lay in the bed, one is on their phone, one is watching TV, and they think that's spending time and that's being intentional and that's being romantic, but it really isn't. That is actually just pretty much taking up space.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super important. I'm glad that you brought that up too, because it kind of goes also to back to what we were saying earlier, you know, learning what is connection? How is connection defined, you know, by both you and your spouse? You know, my husband is very similar in that way, where he just loves for us to physically be just together. We don't have to be doing anything in particular. You know, we could be watching, you know, a video on YouTube, or we could just be laying next to each other, you know, with, you know, the music playing, you know, in the background, and us just being together. That makes my husband so happy, you know, and also taking the time to share with each other, like, what that connection looks like, because what I would consider connection and what my husband considers connection in most cases is very different. You know, there are some things that we're similar in, you know, but then kind of like the point earlier when you said, as far as you being able to decompress and certain things that feed your spirit and help feed your peace, you know, Al didn't understand how important that was for you. And then even though you told him, it took him a minute to kind of like switch gears to really tap into it and respond to that. And the same thing for me. It's easy for me to keep myself busy and occupied. It's easy for me to jump on a piano and be, you know, working on music and turn around and jump in, be looking at, you know, articles or reading something or, you know, ripping and running and, you know, doing this and doing that and miss taking a moment to feed what what connects for my husband, you know. And then one thing I love that we've been doing for a while now, you know, at night, me and my husband will sit and we'll read scriptures together. You know, my husband has been on the Bible app, and he's been intentionally working his way through the New Testament, or not the New Testament, the Old Testament. And we're in the book of Psalms, and, you know, just being able to sit and read those Psalms together and then talk and have a good conversation about what we've learned and how we can apply it and meaningful stuff. That's something that is important to me as far as, you know, connecting, is us having meaningful conversations. And so now I try to make it my business to value those moments, to really set aside time like that, and not get too caught up in just focusing on what my idea of connection is. So, but yeah, it's important. It's important to just be, because a lot of times, and I think that's what's going on right now, like you said at the very beginning of the show, people now that are stuck in their homes with their husbands or wives, they are finding out that they really don't know each other for real. So yeah, it's good to hear different tools that we can utilize to truly connect, and realize, like you said, that sex is not the only connection. It's not the only key connection, but we can't connect mentally and emotionally and spiritually. You know, sex will just turn into a Band-Aid for a bigger thing.
Exactly. Yeah, and then you realize, you know, you engage, you know, in your, you know, sexual relationship, and then you have nothing after that to fall back on. That's, like you said, it's like a Band-Aid. That's all you have. And God gave us the gift of romance. He gave us the gift of being intentional. He gave us the gift of just love and understanding and devotion. And I mean, he gave us so many gifts within marriage. It's so much to unpack. And if we're not intentional about unpacking those things, our spouses or ourselves, we can feel neglected in certain ways because we're not being intentional. So
yeah,
it's very important that we, you know, put the person's needs and their desires and their wants, you know, first, so we can better love them, and then they could better love us, because when they see the things that we desire, we see the things that they desire, then it comes to a place where, you know, we're like, okay, I know my husband loves when I just sit in the basement with him and vibe with him while he's trying to work on music. I know that's something he really loves. I know, you know, he knows that I love music and I love just relaxing to music. He knows it's days where I just don't want the TV on in my bedroom. I just want music softly playing in the background, and I just want to chill, you know, without the TV blaring on and things like that. So, you know, it's a compromise. Yeah. And I'm grateful that we are at a place where we're able to understand what each other loves. And we were kind of asking each other just these different questions. And I'll take a couple minutes to kind of just go through these questions. And if we have listeners out there, these are some questions that you can ask yourself. And these are some questions that you and your spouse can sit and talk about to better understand just romance within the marriage. And you break it down how you guys feel like you want to break it down, because that's how me and my husband did. But so we'll start with the first question. When you think of romance, what comes to mind? The first thing that comes to mind when you think of romance, Jewel, what do you think?
Wow. When I think of romance, I'm an intellectual person. So I love being engaged mentally. Mental engagement and mental stimulation to me is super, super deep for me. To me, I feel like romance is sitting, you know, at a table or sitting together with a couple candles lit and some music playing and just really engaging in thought-provoking conversation, you know, learning about a person and learning things about a person that's not everyday information. It makes me feel like we're more connected. It makes me feel like it's way more deeper and intimate. So that's one thing that comes to mind when I think of romance, is just really having it, being engaged mentally. Also, I love peace. I love atmosphere. That's one thing I think me and you both share. Like, I love atmosphere. I love having candles lit. I love setting the mood for calm and just chill. I love chill atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then also too, physical romance. You know, I love to be touched. I love that. I love physical connection as well too. But for me, me being stimulated mentally is super high when I think of romantic connection. And I like spontaneity because I'm a spontaneous person. I love to just up and be like, hey, let's just jump and drive to Toronto and kick it for the weekend. And yeah, we got $50, but we'll make it work and we'll have a good time. Like, that's also romance for me, just being spontaneous and unplanned things. So those are the two things that stand out for me when I think of romance.
Awesome.
What about you?
And this is a question, like I said, to our listeners or the people that will come back and listen to the recorded podcast. When you think of romance, what comes to mind? Sit down with your spouse and ask that question, you know, and see where you guys go. You know, we've been studying and kind of asking each other these questions, and we've been going to some really cool places with them and able to really, you know, hear each other's heart and what we're feeling. I think when I think of romance, what comes to mind, the number one thing is peace. Safety. I think romance means like I can let all my guards down and I can trust you.
Wow.
That to me, that's what I feel, you know, when I speak on romance. And then if I can let my guards down and I can trust you, and then it's like I'm almost like this open book that you can open up and you can just read like all the pages, because now I took the lock off my journal. You know, once I feel safe, it's like, man, you can now we can connect, now we can read, and now you can know, you know, who I am and what I am and all of that. So I think, yeah, definitely that's what I think about when I think about romance, first thing that comes to mind.
You know what? The song that came to mind when you told me that, like when you shared that, there's a song by Alicia Keys. I think it's called Diary. And it's, I think the lyrics of the song is like, you know, your secrets, they're safe with me. Just write on me like I'm the pages of your diary. Like, it just kind of that flow. You should listen to that song after we get done with the podcast. But it just comes to mind when you said having that safety and being able to just be open, and then you can just read me once I know that I'm safe. So check that song out after we hang up.
Oh yeah, that actually is one of my favorite songs of hers, but I haven't listened to that song in years. Oh my gosh.
Cool.
Yeah.
So go ahead, get with your hubby sometime this week and throw that song on, girl.
Right. So we have a few more questions. We got about 10 minutes left on the show. So I want to ask a few more questions that we can pose, you know, and you can ask your spouse once again, have this conversation, pull away from social media, pull away from the television, pull away from duties or tasks that you think you got to complete right away. We ain't going nowhere. We in quarantine. So
right.
We need to just kind of be intentional about really asking these questions. So another question we have, do you intentionally carve out time for your spouse? Not just, hey, you going to come in the room and lay down with me, or hey, you know, you want to go to bed, or hey, you want to grab something to eat, or not that type of intentionally carving out time, but like really carving out time where you just are all about that individual and nothing else has to be involved in that. Ask yourself that question. Do you intentionally carve out time for your spouse? The next question. In the area of romance, what do you think was meaningful in the beginning of your relationship, and does that still apply today? Like when you first met your spouse and what you thought was romantic. Do you think today, now that you've been with this person for so long, that the same thing applies, or has it changed?
Good. That's a good question. I think people don't realize how much you evolve in a marriage and in a relationship, and especially if you are growing a family or have a family, that can shift and change. Priorities can shift and change when it comes to that. So that's a good question.
Yeah, and it's a question that you have to ask yourself. Like, when we first got together, like me and Al, we were talking, like, things were so simple. Like, he was like, I could not wait to, like, call you, get on the highway, come visit you. Like, I would make it my business every day. I look forward to it. He was like, we would stay on the phone for like 3 and 4 hours, or we'll fall asleep on the phone. And we was like two, like, high school kids, like, fall asleep on the phone, waking up like, hello, you still there? Hello? Like, and so we started kind of thinking about that, talking about that. We was like, of course we don't do that no more. You know, we live together, we together. So it's not like we're courting and in the dating scene. So of course that changed, you know?
Wow.
So it's not the same in that area, but I noticed here lately now he'll be upstairs, or I'll be in the basement, or I'll be downstairs and I'll call him more. You know, I'll send him a message, or he'll do the same for me. Like, we still try to spice it up to the point where we make each other feel like, hey, you know, I'm thinking about you, you know, what you doing? And one thing about me and my husband, we don't have a problem with giving each other our space when we know that other one kind of needs it. But we also make sure when that person is in the space that, hey, I love you, I miss you, don't forget about me, you know, I'm right here if you need me. We still make it intentional, you know, to be involved or be present, you know. So, but
that's,
yeah,
good.
When we talked this question out, it was just so interesting just to think about the things you fall in love with in the beginning of a relationship, the things you desire and the things you think, and all, like I said before in the beginning of this podcast, the stuff and the standards that you set in the beginning that kind of get shifted when, you know, bills get into place, or you lose a job and your finances is jacked up, and, you know, you don't know where money gonna come from. You don't know where your next meal gonna come from. You can't afford groceries, and you're looking at each other sideways. Like, if it wasn't for you spending that money back in 1996 on that thing, we would have been cool by now, you know. And then you looking at each other all crazy and cockeyed and side-eyed, and you like, man, if it wasn't for you going out to dinner with your friends back on your birthday in 2004, we wouldn't be in this predicament now. And, you know, you get to blaming each other, and you get to throwing stuff up in each other's face, and then you realize, like, man, that whole courting romance thing has definitely left the building.
You know, for our listeners, if what she just described applies to you right now, we just want to give you a couple of moments right now to go to your spouse and just go ahead and make amends. Just apologize right now. Just, we want to, for those right now that's probably been holding on that for that grudge for the last 4, 5, 6, 12 years. Go ahead and get it
right. Girl, you know those grudges. You know those grudges within marriages are something serious.
Oh, yeah. I'm laughing because, boy, I know Jesus wept again when I tell you I understand. So, yes, we can hold some of the most pettiest things, you know, to prove a point. And, you know, we get mad because we can't control certain parameters, you know. And that's one thing God had to teach me in my own marriage, like, you know, you got to relinquish control. You got to relinquish. You have to extend grace, you know, because you need it just as bad as the other person. So, but yeah, girl, Jesus. Yes. Thank you for deliverance, Lord.
Amen. And it's so funny because in my journal that I have all these questions in, the scripture on the page is Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
What do you say? What do you say, cuz? What do you say?
So, yeah, we have to practice those things. Another question that our listeners can pose to their spouse. This is some cool activity that you could just pull away and, you know, sit in your bed and Indian style and your jammies and just sit and talk and ask each other these questions. What do you think is the biggest thing that gets in the way of romance for you as a couple? You know, ask yourself that. What do you think? Do you think it's you? Do you think it's kind of what me and Jewel kind of was talking about before? You know, sometimes you have spouses that want to do a ton of things for you, but may not be able to afford it at the moment or may not be able to do it, so they do nothing at all. And, you know, you can have that type of situation going on where you feel like, oh, finances is getting in the way, so I can't do anything for her, or finances is getting in the way, I can't do anything for him. And that's not the case, because being a romantic is about coming up with just new ways, new ideas, new things in order to, like, in, let me think how I'm trying to say this, new ways to love each other, new ways to pour into each other. It does not necessarily have to cost a ton of money, and sometimes we miss it. I know in my marriage, my husband has openly admitted that, like, I want to give you the world, and sometimes when I feel like I can't give you the world, I miss sometimes just giving you anything or giving you a small thing, which my husband is really good about, gifts and the things that he blesses me with, but he knows I'm more simpler. I want to hear his heart. I want a card left on the table with, you know, some words of encouragement or just some love, you know, my love language. He knows that now, you know, so he's like, yeah, I'll be more intentional. I remember when my husband wouldn't even buy flowers because he hated that they died. You know, he's like, why do you want flowers and they die? And I'm like, because I like flowers. You know, I love to smell them before they die. So it's one of those things, you know, you have to really get to a place in your relationship where you guys can hash out those things and you can talk and you can share your heart concerning them. Because sometimes your significant other might not really know. They might be trying to do something this way and they don't realize that it doesn't even take all that for you to receive love or love to be shown to you.
Yeah, that's really, that's a good point that you bring up. I know one of the things that that has helped us as well, because we struggled with that too. Sometimes I would, like I said, I'm a spontaneous person. I love spontaneity. And so sometimes, because, and Mike has admitted, you know, that he wrestles with trying to figure out something new or different to do, especially when our finances might be low or struggling or whatever. And so one of the things that the Lord had to make me realize is when he would say to me, you know, whatever you want to do, I want to do that with you. Just show me. God is like, instead of you being irritated that he can't think of something, look at it as an invitation to teach him and show him. And because sometimes it could be that your spouse just don't have as many ideas. Maybe they're not that creative, but they're willing to do something with you just to see you happy. So also be willing to be like, you know what, hey, if you can't think of something, yeah, let me show you some of the things that I love to do or that I would enjoy doing, so that way you can have better ideas for next time. So now I welcome that, and by doing that, now he is starting to come up with more things. You know, like one day I came home from work and he made me a foot bath with Epsom salt and rose petals and poured me one of my favorite glasses of wine when I got home, and because he started to see that that's something that I love to do when I'm just really, really worn out. So sometimes just lovingly guiding your spouse on the things that you like, even if they can't think of it right then and there, will help a lot.
Absolutely. And to end our show, romance enhances our relationship, and romance is a gift from God. We need to understand, like, how beautiful it is to love our spouses and for our spouses to love on us. Sometimes we can get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. We can get caught up in children. We can get caught up in work. We can get caught up in so many different things. But let us take the time to understand how sacred romance is in a marriage. It's not just sex, but it's about love, loving each other authentically, loving each other in truth, loving each other to the point that all guards can be let down and we can breathe and live freely to just be the men and women that God have called us to be within our marriages. So when the world gets a chance to meet us, we're pouring all of that out on the rest of the world as well, and they'll be able to benefit and reap from the joy that we carry, from the love that we carry, from the nurturing and kind spirit that we carry. They'll be able to benefit from that because we are being loved from a place at home where we have finally been able to let our guard down and be romantic. I hope you tune in with us again. Thank you so much, Joel Elfers, for joining the show. I thank you for always being a consistent co-host and just believing in the vision of the Inspired Movement. I bless you and Mike. I just ask, you know, God to just pour out over you guys. I thank all our listeners. I thank you, thank you, thank you. If you have any questions, you can inbox our Inspired Movement page. If you have any show topics that you want to hear us discuss, you can inbox our Inspired Movement page on Facebook. And we will talk to you soon. You all have a blessed night. Jewel, you have a blessed night as well. And I shall talk to you soon.
Awesome.
Love, there's so many things I've got to tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how. Cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray. I know you, longing for your kiss, for your kiss, touch, for your feel, your essence. Many nights I've cried from the things you do, felt like I could die from the thought of losing you. I know that you're real, with no doubts and no fears and no questions.